Hello and welcome to another episode of the CG Garage. This is episode number 293, featuring the amazing Asuka Todakeni, who is a wonderful, wonderful person who I've known for a very, very long time. She is a CG supervisor at Digital Domain, has done some incredible work. Now, Kristen, what did you like about this podcast?
Well, as I like to say, Titanic strikes again. That is what inspired her to pursue visual effects. Which I feel like someone else has. Titanic's been, you know, in and out of the podcast every so often. But and that's Dee Dee did it. So she works there, has been working there forever. And I thought it was interesting that she was hired by Darren Grant to do TV, but she started working with you on iRobot, and you had her do a shot, and she like did it like amazingly well, and and it has only grown from there. So it was a really interesting podcast.
Yeah. She started off as an intern at DD, and I was like her first, you know, one of her first bosses there, I guess. And I always thought she was incredibly shy, and she is a little bit shy, but turns out that she actually didn't speak that much English back then. I just didn't know. She's from Japan. And she, you know, we talk a lot about her Japanese culture, et cetera. Now, again, this was like nearly 20 years ago. So obviously her English is great now, and she speaks good English and all of that. But it was amazing. I didn't know she basically just sat there and nodded, but she did her job beautifully. She really was a fantastic person. Her work is incredible. I also really like the fact that she has sort of a programmer's brain and an artist brain at the same time. Which is what sort of led her to be part of the Digital Human Group at Digital Domain, which is what she's doing now. So she's working with Darren Handler and all those guys on the Digital Human stuff. And she gave a presentation for us at 24 Hours of Chaos, which was really great. But really cool. I mean, I absolutely love Asuka, and she's an incredible artist and a really, really bright person and a fantastically well-organized. And she's always been a great person. So really glad that she was able to do the podcast. Finally. Cool. We have a couple of announcements. What's going on?
All right. So you can find this out at chaosgroup.com/events. Right now, this is going on as we speak. So it started September 17th, going to October 13th, and it's the Discover the Power of V-Ray 5 series. So there's a lot of exclusive presentations, and you can find all of that online.
Right, chaosgroup.com/events. There's also a student render challenge called the Illumination Challenge, and the deadline for that is November 30th, 2020. So the tagline for this is "Love experimenting with light." Enter our student rendering challenge, and we'll be in the chance with a chance to win V-Ray Corona licenses or V-Ray Cloud credits and much more. So go check that out. All of that information is available at chaosgroup.com. If you're interested in entering the student rendering challenge, or you want to know more about V-Ray 5, et cetera, et cetera. Speaking of V-Ray 5, V-Ray 5 for Houdini beta is available. I don't know if it's an open beta or not. You may just have to enter to be part of the beta online. Again, all of that can be at chaosgroup.com. A lot of people are, at the minute we announce any kind of V-Ray 5 of any product, everyone complains that the one that they want is not available, but they are coming out. All of them are coming out. So V-Ray 5 for SketchUp and Rhino and Cinema 4D and all of those things are coming out. So don't worry. The Houdini one was far enough along that we felt that we could put the beta out at this point. So that's coming out. And then we'd love to hear, you know, obviously betas are important for us to get feedback from you guys. So if you guys do get access to beta for Houdini, V-Ray 5 for Houdini, please let us know what you think, because that's extremely important. That's what betas are for. All right. That's enough about stuff on V-Ray. If people want to find out more about the podcast, where can I go, Kristen?
You can go to facebook.com/CG Garage Podcast or chaosgroup.com/CG Garage.
Great. And if you guys have any questions, suggestions, go ahead and email us. We have actually been getting some really great suggestions. If we think they're someone we would like to hear about, we will definitely reach out to them. Some of them may be a little bit more delayed, but we'll get to them. Labs@chaosgroup.com is our email. Just go ahead and email us there. Any suggestions or ideas, or if you just want to tell us that you like the podcast, we always like that as well. Speaking of that, more productive than an email would be if you basically go to Apple Podcast and give us a rating and a review there, and make sure you share us with all of your friends. Much appreciated on that. I should note that unfortunately the video on my laptop kept clonking out during the recording with Asuka. So there is no video on this podcast. This is an audio only one. And I really apologize to all the listeners or viewers, potential viewers that normally like the video version of the podcast. So, but you can still check it out, the audio version of it, and it's still available on our podcast page and on our website. So go check that out there. All right. That being said, please enjoy this amazing podcast with Asuka Tsuburakeni.
Welcome to another CG Garage, where the Chaos Group talks. You'll know it's over when the last bucket drops. We're gonna fire off rays in high dynamic range. We know that ambient occlusion is passé. Global illumination won't lead you astray. And while image-based lighting is really swell, you need to make sure everything has Fresnel.
Can you believe it? All right. So a couple things I want to talk about real quick.
Okay.
Let's get it out of the way.
Yeah, that sounds good.
I remember very much when you first started at Digital Domain, it was a big deal.
Yeah.
It was my first time sort of leading a team. And
Oh, I didn't know. I totally didn't know.
And I didn't know anything. And they were like, okay, Chris, you're going to have these great things. You're going to have an intern.
Yeah.
And then I saw your name. And I said, okay. So I talked to Darren Grant, right? Remember Darren Grant? And I said, so how do you pronounce her name? Do you pronounce it Asuka?
Yeah,
and
right.
he goes, and he said, no, it's pronounced Asuka.
That's
and I
right.
said, and so that's the way you pronounce your name, Asuka, right?
That's correct. In my language, yes.
Yeah. Okay. So I always called you Asuka, and then someone says, no, it's Asuka. And I was like, wait a minute, hold on a second. You've been telling me I've been getting this wrong the whole time.
But You are the one of the person always get it right. So
okay. So I was like, Asuka, okay, yeah. Great. I'm so happy to have you on. You were very, very cool as an intern. And it was my first experience from that. Mm-hmm. And you spoiled me from having interns ever since then. And it was such a fun show.
Yeah, I know. But I have to tell you, you guys were so brave to have me and do that task. Yeah. I barely speak English, like tiny bit.
Yeah, I remember.
But so, believe me, it's like, so I had probably not understanding 90% of what you guys are saying.
Yeah.
But, you know, you guys guided through and made me succeed. That was amazing.
Yeah, I will. I remember very much, you know, what we were doing. And it was one thing. And, it was something that I think it was Paul George who was sort of helping me, advising, and Lisa Spence as well. Right. And I was like, well, just give, you know, her little tasks at a time and see how she does, you know, like how far you get this way, how far you get that way, how far you get that way. And we had this one outlying little thing that needed to get done, which was everyone had big sequences, et cetera, that we had this one thing that had to be done. And it was the bartender robot.
Mm-hmm. my still favorite. Yes.
Yeah. And so it was on iRobot, just so people remember. And you was a bartender robot. And I said, okay, we're going to assign you this shot and we want you to see how you do. Mm. And you didn't speak much English, as you said back then, but I didn't need to communicate much. It was like almost perfect right from version one. And Paul George and I were like, oh, this is really good. And so we were very excited.
Something you guys didn't know was I was hired as a, you know, hired by Darren Grant.
So you were supposed to be a TD, right?
I was supposed to be a programmer. That was my previous, like, hold of my focus. So I never really done the look dev or actual writing. Uh-huh. I even didn't know what the AOV is at that time.
Right. Right. Well, let's do that. Let's go back a little bit. Let's go back in history. Yeah. So what got you to your journey at Digital Domain? I mean, what was going on in Japan and that made you become the person you became now?
Yeah, so that was a funny part. You know, when I started like college, of course, so I decided to stick with the 3D computer graphics.
because that looks like really cool and amazing.
Yeah.
So then in the third year of the college, I think, I had I was lucky enough to get the little bit this internship in the Japanese company, which they do a lot of immersive graphics system. Like it had a, you know, the curved huge screen and connected with the Silicon Graphics' Onyx system and has a three monitor projected and projecting real-time graphics or such.
Wow, there you go.
So yeah, that was my first internship and that was great. And they decided to send me to SIGGRAPH 1 year. Okay, so you go and get the more research, get the latest knowledge and the technology coming back in. So that was the year of 98, which was a huge blast of Titanic.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So Titanic was so big in the 98, and everything was totally blowed my mind. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
I gotta have to do this. I gotta have to work on the something this amazing. I even didn't know what the digital domain until then. But that's totally defined my focus of like what I wanted to be.
Yeah.
Then that is a great start. All right, this is what I want to do. But unfortunately, I'm still living in Japan, and I never lived outside of Japan ever. So okay, let's just start with small. Since Japan has a still has some of the 3D graphics industry. We have games. We have animation. And so I got the nice job, got offered in the one, the animation company. They were slated to make a big feature film next year. All right. So then they are also doing they are trying to bring on a lot of the people outside of Japan, like to get the more influence. All right, great. So that's what I'm going to do after the college. But here's a catch. That didn't happen. So my first job went away before
the first
I started.
Job that you were gold for. Yeah.
Yes. So that was a, well, right now I feel like that is a kind of nature of this industry. But in the same time, I was very, disappointed. Yeah, but I still wanted to stick with the, my plan. I'm still going to do this. Then I just got the job, another job in the one small company called Trilogy Future Studio. They were doing, I don't know, they had a big release in outside of Japan, but they are doing a lot of toon shading, and you were using Softimage quite a bit at that time.
Softimage. So that was very popular in Japan, right? Softimage was very popular. Yeah,
it was very popular, and because at that time Softimage was having great the rigging system, Kinematic and AK. That was before Maya was born, so Softimage was the to go for all the animators. But my first job was over there, and they are just more likely trying to find a more technical person. Because they are doing the toon shading, and also they are trying to get more rendering to be more efficient. So that's what my the first job started in this industry. That was great. But unfortunately, this is a little bit ugly truth of the industry in Japan. So unfortunately, I couldn't sustain financially to just doing those jobs. And people really work really hard over there. A lot, they are the no concept of overtime, to be honest, because we just slow our life into this particular one thing. That is more likely Japanese culture things, I think. We just like living in the, actually, definitely I was sleeping into the floor of my work desk to make sure render goes through. So, of course, those life just couldn't sustain that long. Even I was really young. So then I just decided to like, okay, this is just can't be. Think about that the whole Hollywood visual effects people. They are doing this job they are making a lot of the blockbuster film out of that. They mm-hmm. must have something I don't know. So that's the part I decided to take a step back. So I went back to the school a little bit. So yeah. then, and my professor I was studying with was very cool. He was suggesting me to like, okay, you should run a little bit more of a technical side, and you should absorb what's the, you know, technology can help the people to efficient. And also, he was okay with like, I'm just tinkering around the whole the college equipment to mm-hmm. get the some of the nice, you know, the technology or writing down the paper or those things. So then I was lucky enough to have a little bit of talk in the Eurographics or those kind of, not SIGGRAPH, but SIGGRAPH subsidies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then so those effort finally, I think it blossomed in 2003. So because of I had those technical background and all the things, then now digital domain, I applied to digital domain, they just called me back, finally.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, so that's how was my life before digital domain, yeah.
Yeah, well, I know Darren Grant had a gift for finding golden gems out in the world. Like he had ability to find people that were like, there's a person there that's like that we should get. That is really cool. So,
yeah. Yes.
All right. So you got to digital domain after you finally. Did you apply a couple of times to DD then, or just or one, or was it the when did they?
I think it was DD was somehow. I just that was the first time I applied to DD.
Nice. Nice.
It's a weird feeling. That was the only the place I actually got into as
right.
well.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah. Somehow.
And so that was your journey from 98 all the way to 2001 or 2002. When did you arrive?
I arrived in DD 2003.
Three. Like, okay.
Yeah. 2003. Yeah.
Right. Wow. So which is now 17 years.
I know, right?
Yeah. You're still there.
Well,
that's amazing.
That is another one too, because I really, somehow I just, DD becomes my place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, it's hard to describe. It's just like, because of DD gave me such many chance to me.
Yeah.
So it was really, really like special to me, you know.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Like
for
I
sure.
said, I wasn't speaking English when I started in DD.
Right.
So.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is amazing. But I also think, you know, like DD was a good place, you know, it was a good home to start. You were made to feel pretty comfortable right off the bat, right?
And once you're
there, you're like, yeah, I don't see why I have to go anywhere else, right?
Well, at that time, everybody was on like outside of industry or outside of even country, right? So
yeah.
I still remember the day I was working with Estras Braganano,
and yeah.
So he understand I don't speak that much in English, and he understand he has a really sexy accent. So
yeah.
every time he comes to my desk, I have to fix something. He just bring up the whole the GUI, said, here, do you see this red? That means error. You have to fix it. And he walks away. Nothing more than that. Just like, yeah. Here is your error.
Yep.
That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was interesting. You know, what also was really great about DD, especially at that time, and I don't know, maybe it's still the case today, but you know, so many people came from around the world to be there, mm-hmm. right? You know, I was sitting in a room. I had a German guy and a Russian girl and me, and there was, you know, a Japanese girl, and there was all these different people that arrived from all around the world, and they were all working there together.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of us you know, we spoke English. Some of us didn't speak English as well as other people did, and that's okay. We managed. We all sort of, you know, did Estrus's. Estrus and Paul George are both from Venezuela, you know. And it was really kind of a nice place to, that Digital Domain was really sort of a home to so many people of so many different places. And that's specifically because, especially when it comes to visual effects talent, which is, you know, the top level of computer graphic talent, that talent pool is global. It's not just in one place, right? So it's really nice to have that, to have that, that group of people come together and be able to communicate in that area. What were so you worked obviously on iRobot was your first show, and then what was the next one you did after that?
You know? Actually, so next one I went back to the what I supposed to do, which is programming.
Right, so, I do remember that. Yeah, now.
Yeah, so Darren Grant put me back into the software pipeline team. Mm-hmm. So then I was working for render management, the part of a race. So with Jason Iverson. So Jason Iverson was doing for Houdini part. Then I was doing Maya and the renderman, the whole pipeline. The what's the render farm's job? It's supposed to get managed for, like, define the priority, define the dependency for the job, or like even just manipulating the render cache or those things.
Right.
So that was a couple of years. I think I supported for the stealth. That was a big part. Like trying to, because it was massive amount of the shot count. So if anything fell overnight, you guys were really in a bad place.
Right.
Yeah.
But did you like doing that or?
Oh, I loved that. So that was, again, originally my the interest towards those Hollywood big visual effects studio was how they do things most efficient, right?
Right.
So pipeline was my big mystery because, again, any of the small studio I worked in Japan, unfortunately, we didn't have a concept in the pipeline back in the day. Okay. All the render was done in local box.
Right.
So then, and all the tool was just to able to parse or anything on the market was the only the one they could use.
Right.
So they couldn't have a luxury to go a little bit outside the box. So then I believe the software is of course one thing, but pipelines are something to make that whole the greatness to be actual production ready type of thing.
Sure.
So pipeline working for the pipeline was really cool for me. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I didn't know I enjoyed that much, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. So you worked on Pipeline for, you said, a couple of years.
Did
you go back to being go back into lighting, or what did you do for that?
I think so, yes. So then it's just like I was really excited about doing coding as well. But if you are working for the visual effects, you see like really pretty picture every day, right?
Right.
So I just like toned myself. It's like, so okay, I'm doing the whole dealing with all the text every day.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, is that enough for me?
Right.
So that started like getting a little bit more curious about the visual side. So that was a good transition as well. So some of the my writing lead, especially for Hansi Tan, he was really cool about I'm doing both.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was, I think, Pirates of the Caribbean. He started giving me like here and there for a little bit of a visual task.
Right.
So then now it's like, so that became really beneficial for me later on. Because I know pipeline side on the backbone really well.
Yep.
And also that means if you have any of the, the things is not working, I don't need other people's help. I just can dive in and say, okay, so here is a point, it's made it to fail. Let's try it a different way. So I could, I become like really good problem solver.
Right.
So that I believe that is that was really useful for me.
Well, you get to practice, like you design the pipeline and then you get to use the pipeline and see how it works at the same time, right?
Yes.
So it's great. It's sort of like, all right, well, now I know why, you know, I could work better this way, or I could do this way, or I could solve it this way, or I could make it be, or this seemed like a good idea, but in production or in practice, it's not the same, right?
Right. It took a while to even like understand how the artist wants to work and how we want to work.
Yeah.
Right? So then that is always like programmer versus artist headbutt to each other.
Yeah, but you're both.
So yes, that made me like really comfortable. I can speak to the both, right?
Right.
So, yeah.
But did you like doing art, you know, when you were in Japan? Did you do some art as well, or?
Well, that's some other things to talk about my culture. So I really wanted to go for the art school, to be honest.
Really?
But my mother stopped me.
Right.
My mother said, hey, are you going to have a job out of that?
Yeah, of course. This is a very typical thing.
Typical. To be honest, right now, if any of my children wanted to go artist career, so I will not stop them. Because I know that could sustain. It will be hard, but that could happen. And anything is possible. But again, I'm from a little bit more traditional family in Asia. So they wanted me to be safe for my life, right? So,
right. Yeah. But the thing I think that people don't understand, and this is, by the way, you know, parents worrying about their kids wanting to be an artist is very typical, right?
Yeah.
But it's not just Japan, it's everywhere. but I think the thing that people don't realize is people think of artists as someone who's going to paint pictures and make no money doing that, right? And that's not always the case. And what I always tell people is like, if anything you touch, see this thing, phone, this microphone, or anything, it's been designed by an artist. Someone had to figure out how to do it. Anything you touch, everything you see, everything like this thing here, someone designed that, right? And so everyone looks at it and says, okay, so artists are responsible for everything in the world that's around you. So someone has to be there. So artists are in demand and they can always do things. I think it's great. Yeah. I think it's really great.
That's a beautiful line to describe the whole nature of art. Yeah.
And it's kind of funny what you did, because what you did really is you basically said, okay, I'm going to become a computer programmer, but you take your computer programming and apply it to your art, right?
So, yes, that's what my mother always said, and still in the back in the day, okay, you just like find a way to whatever you wanted. You got it in any way. I couldn't stop it. So yes, that's maybe true.
Yeah.
I'm very happy with my career. So I will not go do anything else.
But didn't your mother have a very interesting career? I remember something very special about your mother.
My mother was originally she had a college in the English major, but she totally didn't do that. And she started working for design company makes a hat specialist.
Right, she was a hat designer, that's right.
So she did a couple of years. I still remember the day I needed to go to the studio with her, and she's just delivering her, you know, her craft to the supplier.
Wow. So, so she was an artist.
So I didn't think about that deeply, but it's not, no, it's kind of funny to say it. She's just trying to stop me.
Yeah, it's really cool. I think I remember that. I was like, oh yeah, Asuka's mom was a hat designer. And it was, anyway, she was, it's interesting. I think it's great that you end up doing what you're doing, because I think it's very good that you're able to, you're able to exercise both sides of your brain. You're able to feel secure in what you're doing, and you're able to do something that you were inspired by. I mean, 1998, you saw Titanic, is like, I want to do that, and then like, here you go, you're working for Digital Domain, the company that did Titanic, which is really great. And you've been obviously there for 17 years. What were some of your favorite projects that you worked on in 17 years?
Well, I have to say, iRobot is still my favorite.
iRobot, really?
Yes. I don't know how to describe. Again, that was a people and the team was such a welcoming feel, like mm-hmm. including you being like my lead. That was amazing. Yeah. And we, again, it's every night, and you know, when after we had the catering dinner, Paul George and Piotr Kawas is playing a guitar on the side of the corner while we are still waiting for the rendering. It's just such a fun environment.
Yeah, it was. It was. Yeah, their guitar playing was great.
Amazing, right?
Yeah. We would just sit there, and it was usually around like dinner time or something, because we had to work late hours as everyone does in visual effects. And Paul George and Piotr were playing guitar while we were waiting for our renderings and doing dinner, and it was very nice. It was really good. Who was also a really good guitar player? Rory McLeish. Do you remember Rory?
Oh yes, that's right, Rory McLeish. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. He did a really good guitar playing as well. He was really great. It was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Yeah, so iRobot was still your favorite, which is great. But you must have done some other really great projects.
Well, also, I don't know. It's like also like Ender's Game was special for me too.
Oh, Ender's Game, right?
Yes, because that was the interesting project, mm-hmm. and we got to see from like really from the oh, the before the visual effects post production part, because we were trying to improved a little bit more for the movie making on that particular project. We saw a lot of the pre-production part. Mm-hmm. We even saw about how the story the department is going to try to do the screening change. And we got to see a couple of the before edit, after edit, couple of times of screening. And we are able to express our opinion to them so that they can observe that whole the information. That was just, it's not going to happen that often if you're working in the post-production.
Right.
So that was really amazing.
Yeah, it was. Those moments are really special, sort of being involved beyond post-production or, before post-production happens was really great. Yeah. I think I remember when I was on Tron, on Tron, what was really special was with David Levy. He was sitting next to me and we were designing parts of Tron together and then seeing it right into the shot like the next day. And it was kind of like, it was great to be able to have that back and forth and be more part of the decision making that's going on as opposed to here's a bunch of stuff, just make that happen.
And the Ender's Game was one more special thanks to, because ever since I started in the digital domain, I was I was in the Renderman Girl all the way. Then in the middle of Ender's Game, so the Chris Knopfchen came up to me. It's like, okay, I think you should give a shot in for the V-Ray for this one.
Okay.
At that time, I know we did Tron in a V-Ray, and we did a lot of the different
Real
things.
Steel
in
as well.
Real Steel, yes. Yeah, so Real Steel was I think it's the same time.
Yep.
So a lot of the people was skeptical about how much of the render volume we have to do in the Ender's Game. Mm-hmm. Because we have a massive ship battle and we have a swarm sequence and we really have to make the organic character. Everything was packed into the one.
Mm-hmm.
Then I spent like a good 4 months of testing Renderman versus V-Ray, Renderman versus V-Ray. Then, oh my God.
Those are painful.
It was painful. But I have to say, okay, this is a time I have to say, we will go for the V-Ray. So then that decision ended up totally saving the movie in the end.
Really?
Yes,
What were some of the things that were a factor? What do you think was the things that made you realize that V-Ray was going to be the better choice at that time? And this was before RenderMan had ray tracing, I'm assuming, right?
Well, it was a border of the RenderMan's ray tracing, I think.
Okay.
It's like, so RenderMan finally introduced the full ray trace, and we are testing it both.
Right. Oh,
but
okay.
It's just for the V-Ray had this amazing instancing system, and the memory management was fantastic in the back end.
Right.
Then also, of course, also like I think collaboration with the team, Brado's team, was also, I felt more secure to going into, you know, more development. Because we, if we have any of the problem, we talk to the chaos group, the next day they will say, hey, try this.
Right.
We try this. And then they could fix the, a lot of things for us.
Right.
That was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. It's you know, it was definitely a collaboration for sure. And I think that, you know, obviously Chaos Group and Digital Domain have had a relationship for a long time. And so that was a very, very interesting project for sure. Yeah, Ender's Game was an interesting, there was a lot of stuff going on in there. There was, you know, different creatures and spaceships and a lot of instancing. And yeah, it was pretty interesting. Okay. Well, cool. And then what about more recently? What have you been focusing on more recently?
That's another the turn. I made a little bit another turn of like my the focus of what we are doing in digital domain.
Yeah.
So right now I'm in a part of a digital human group. So
with Darren Hendler.
Yes, with Darren Hendler. Mm. Yes. Yeah. Darren was recruiting me a couple of years. It's like, do you want to do more of the you know, great digital human? But I was hesitating a couple of years. I know my strengths about how I work in the digital domain right now, at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
I was, you know, since technology versus that the whole the artistic part, so I could do a lot of the technically difficult things,
right?
So technically challenging the stuff. So that was my comfort zone,
right?
But for the any of the really cross up creatures or those things, I never done it. So I was a little bit hesitating, but I did a couple of the digital human head replacement and recently. Then once you do like two or three shows, then you're going to get the feel groove out of it, right?
Yep.
So then I started doing, yes, I want to see more about, I want to focus more for the head. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
What shows did you do some humans on?
I started off Twilight Zone, that is episodic, it was like quick one. Then next, the big one was, I did Martin Luther King for the BL, for the Time magazine last year.
Oh, yeah, Martin Luther King, that was really big, yeah.
Yeah,
that was a beautiful one.
Oh, thank you. But it was really, the pressure was on, because he was such an iconic person. Right?
Yep.
And also, unfortunately, we couldn't send him to the scan.
No.
We had a lot of development. We spent 6 or 8 months of development for the just only trying to resignate him back.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really fun though. But in the same time, oh man, it's like we don't have colored footage that much.
Right.
Colored footage was really limited, and all of them is black and white. And also, since he's such iconic, every individual person has their own take of what he looked like.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was really a tough one.
yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, I remember Tupac, right? When we were working with Tupac, it was similar. Like, you don't have a scan of him. All they had was like VHS recordings of him in video, like, you know. And so, and like you said, everyone has a different memory of that person. So you have to sort of do a representation that sort of looks like, and then there's different ages, like how old, you know, what time period do you want to capture that person. I know that when I was working on digital humans and that I think about them, it always brings up philosophical questions about representing humans. Did you find some of those things challenging when you're looking at this? Like, how do we deal with that? I mean, obviously, when you're looking at Martin Luther King, it was really iconic and important. I mean, obviously, and you feel responsible. Like, we are responsible.
I totally did, and also it's interesting things to. Get the historical background out, because I wasn't, you know, I wasn't alive at that moment, right? So just like tracking down the history of how the things got influenced to the people's life.
Right.
So that's, I just have to respect a lot of the, you know, we are doing digital things, but right. also we are dealing with people's, the whole the history and the emotion going back to one.
Right.
And it's, I just, yes, just the pressure was just so on. I just didn't want to do wrong.
Right.
And to, but the, I think in the end of the whole the project, we mm-hmm. we managed to ourselves pull it together. So we, I still believe that the whole the Martin Luther King, I had in the vision was the succeeded to the represent it in our project.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And, I mean, you guys made the cover of Time magazine, so.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. So, and that was really special for me too, which yeah. visual effects artists can actually go on to the Time magazine's cover, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was.
That was really incredible. Really yeah. incredible. And they had to say, this is not a photograph. They had to put mm-hmm. that in there just to. Well, that Martin Luther King experience was really great. And I think, you know, when you think about digital humans and representing iconic people,
right?
I think those are really something that digital domain has been very good at trying to figure out is the responsibility that we have when we're mm-hmm. representing digital humans, right? Things like Tupac, for example, were very different. People were thinking about it, but I think that the care and attention to right. what was going on and talking to the family members and understanding mm-hmm. that and representing the person, and the same thing with Martin Luther King. I think you guys really sort of worked with the people to make sure that they were best representing this person's memory, which is really great. But on top of that, the thing that you guys do the best is like yeah. making sure they look as real as possible.
Yeah, so that's the part, right? So yeah. it's just for the digital human things, it's becoming really more interesting because we started seeing, like you just said, it's not a photo or it's not actual footage type mm-hmm. of things. We have to put that in there to people to know this is digitally created. So mm-hmm. that is a level, it's getting a lot of potential opening up. But also same time, it's like, so, okay, what are we going to do with this technology? Right. It's another challenge, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, but it's really just fascinating. So yeah. Darren has a lot of great idea on the rise. So right. we will see more of what we're going to do for the next round. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're working with Jason Huang as well, I'm assuming?
Yes, I'm working yeah. with Jason Huang. Yes, yeah. He's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember he was struggling about thinking about it, and he had a conversation with me and was asking me advice about stuff, and he was thinking mm-hmm. about the opportunity of possibly going to digital domain to work on this stuff, mm-hmm. and I said, yeah, you should do it. I mean, there's no other place in the world that's doing anything like this. And if that was his passion, he really wanted to work on digital humans. And I was like, that's, well,
oh, okay.
You can do that, which is really great. Are you working on DigiDug stuff as well?
Yes, yeah. We are working for the next generation of DigiDug. So yeah. We did a great success on the TED Talk and also the SIGGRAPH last year. So yeah. We're going to have a little bit more than just he is the beautifully done. So
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you guys are doing so much interesting things. So I know that a lot of stuff that goes on with DigiDug and the digital human stuff right now, a lot of the massive acceleration of quality that you guys are mm-hmm. getting recently is a lot of it has to do with some of the stuff you guys are doing in machine learning. Am I right about that?
Right. Yes. We use machine learning really heavily. So, yeah. Any of the things like for the animation to the facial capture to even like for the compositing part, we use mm-hmm. machine learning now. So that's a big game changer.
Right. Now, okay, this is good because you, as an artist and a TD, what do you think about as much of the combination of machine learning and how that's helping you doing things? Do you feel that it's taking some of the tasks away from you or things away from you that you wish you still had control of? Or what do you think about that?
Well, you know, let me put that in this way. So machine can only do the things they got told for and analyzed for, right? So I just like feels like machine cannot come up with the beautiful Thanos. That is some of the human have to had a more artistic part and achievement put that in. So I don't think it's like, so I don't feel like it's threatening or anything. Mm-hmm. But again, it's like I know that the feeling about as a being artist. But everything is about the went in the same way, right? So if you have a photo, the history of Photoshop.
Right.
So the photographer was really offended in the first couple of years, right?
Right. Yeah, it's true.
My work is altered. But it's now, right now, for the other latest trend, all the photographer have to use the Photoshop.
Right.
To make their art, you know, artistic creation in the next level.
Right.
I think machine learning in our the visual effects industry will do the same things for us.
Right.
So,
yeah. And look how much you've been able to grow, right? Look at how much stuff has happened in digital human stuff. And you guys are using a lot of it for animation as well, right? So a lot of the,
we do a lot of facial capture and for the user machine learning. And we also have a, you know, internal facial capture and the training system.
Right.
Then to achieve the great facial motion,
Right, and you've developed all of that stuff. You guys have developed in house, I'm assuming, right?
Yes, Masquerade. Yes, that was
Masquerade. It's pretty incredible stuff. Obviously, I mean, those of you who've seen the DigiDug stuff, it's pretty cool. And also because it's machine learning, you can do a lot of very subtle animation in real time, which is pretty fast. Yeah.
So that is another part. It's we are trying. They are the. Some of the frustration of just doing just by your own hand. I wanted to get there, but my hand is not I don't want to say my hand is not good enough, but I don't have enough time or I don't have enough budget. But those part, the you know, machine learning can totally fill that in for me. And it feels good to get like quality you want it, always want it, is there. It feels really good.
Yeah. You know, the other thing, and tell me if you think this is right, but like the other thing that I think is very challenging, and I know this when I was at Digital Domain, when I was before you had all these great tools that you guys are using, especially is, you know, we're always fighting the uncanny valley. That was always the thing, right? And when you're doing an animation you're tweaking a motion capture by hand, the problem is you react so negatively to Uncanny Valley that you tend to overcorrect animation
and you never get it
right and it gets worse. But with machine learning, it's completely subjective or objective. So it basically just like, well, I'm just going to fix it. The machine doesn't have an emotional response. It can just correct it correctly.
Doesn't have an emotional bias, right? So
then
it's great. Like sometimes it's like people has own flavor. Each people has each own flavor. And those are, sometimes it works great. Sometimes it gets in your way. Mm-hmm. Then if you rely on the machine, they're the no, yes or no. So they just like only have a one way. So that's, that is a great thing.
Right.
And maybe we can get mad at the machine to correcting me in the same way.
That's fine. I think, you know, I think it's really good that people have put that in perspective because I love art. And I love being an artist, but I also have a math background, right? And so I love math and I'm lazy. So if I can do A to B as fast as possible, then I would be happy or as simply as possible because I actually find real beauty in simple things. And so if machine learning can just take a lot of the guesswork out of things and make me feel secure about things, then I'm all for it. So I think it's really, cool. Plus, you know, honestly, Doug is a very smart guy, and I trust Doug about some of those decisions that he's been making. So it's really great.
Yeah.
Doug's a little bit like you. I think, you know, he has a little bit, he's an artist as well, deep down as well. So
Right. Yes. He has a lot of great, the input about what we, when we are, you know, representing something. And he has totally, comes in with a totally different perspective. But
yeah.
It's a great advice time, you know?
Yeah.
So I just feel like so lucky to work with Doug Rubel. He's a so special guy.
He's a very special person. He's very, very nice. He's been on the podcast before, and I love having him on. I may want to have him on again at some point.
Yeah.
Because I can talk about digital humans forever, so that's good. Let's talk a little bit about, obviously, you were supposed to come over to Total Chaos, which unfortunately didn't happen. But I mean, I'm assuming you were going to talk to us a little bit about the Martin Luther King project as well, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's what my hope. We still have a lot of the stash I needed to, download to you guys.
Yeah. But can you tell us a little bit about how did it happen? Like where what was the motivation behind it exactly?
You mean Martin Luther King's project?
Yeah. Some people may, well, I'll just put it this way, Asuka.
Yeah.
Some people may not know what this project is. So let's just tell them a little bit more.
Okay, Martin Luther King project was, Time Magazine started working on to the creating for the 63's march, for Human Rights March, to be represented as a VR world. Like we're gonna go to put that in headset. We're gonna dive into walk around in the Constitution Avenue. Then we're gonna listen to "I Have a Dream" speech by Martin Luther King. So that was it was built in a museum in the Chicago. So African American Museum in the Chicago, and it was showing. It's just about to. Started on the public right before the whole shutdown had happened.
Right, yeah. And it was about you, because it was VR. It was not just seeing video of it, but you were able to actually experience what it was like to be there and hear that speech and do that. Right.
Yes. So then the project itself is, we just wanted to represent that the whole famous speech is just not only the audio. Even audio is super powerful, but if you combined with the motion and the ambience, it just becomes another experience.
Right.
So we wanted to preserve that special the moment to be more towards to the future generation to know better and feel better, also experience that whole the great moment of history.
Yeah, and you had film of the event that happened, and that was your reference as to the animation, right?
Right. Yeah. So Aruna Inbasing was our the director of this the internal director for this project. So he had downloaded so many different footage of Martin Luther King, and we watched them over and over and over.
Right.
But again, it's just his voice is so powerful. That's ended up driving us almost every day, and I never got tired listening to his voice.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. So you guys created that experience, which is great, and went into museum, and then obviously Time Magazine did a piece about you guys as well. So, which is. I mean, I really think that was such a great project. Really cool, for sure.
It's just opens up another potential for the computer generated human to be not just only the film, not only the TV, some other media.
Yeah,
so it's a great opportunity there.
Yeah, that is actually a really interesting point. I mean, what do you think about digital humans? What roles do they have? What roles do you think they have in the world besides film and TV and stuff like that?
That's the interesting things right now, right? Sorry, I kind of got stuck on that part.
Yeah, but I mean, a lot of people are talking about it's like, oh, avatars would be a good thing or things of that nature, like digital assistants are things that people are talking about.
Digital assistants is a really great idea, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I just, every time I think about those digital assistants, I just think that will help a lot of the people, even like my parents' generation.
Right.
They are so not used to the idea about clicking an icon. But if the human on the screen say, okay, so here's an icon in here. This is a button you have to press.
Right.
Then that might just compel them to educate the computer things a little bit better.
Right.
I can see my mom is really a special person, but okay. My mom is really low tech.
Right.
She cannot even send an email. She got mad at me when I'm trying to go through, like, mm-hmm. okay, so this is a button, this is a text, this is a keyboard you have to type. She gets mad at me all the time. Yep. But I feel like if those anonymous human is going to try to explain to her, probably her brain's going to absorb information way more than what I do.
It's true. I think that there are certain ways of people are starting to, you know, while people are dealing with virtual assistants more and more, there's a lot mm-hmm. of people asking questions to Alexa or Google Assistant or Siri, right? And so you're starting to get used to that as a voice, right, mm-hmm. that lives in your house. And then eventually it has a face and it can point to things and say, hey, you know, mm-hmm. or like, oh, looks like you're having a bad day. Maybe I can help you out. Or want to listen to your favorite song or, you know.
That would be nice, actually, yeah.
So those are, yeah. I can see that, but yeah, I think those are really good use cases. I think that obviously digital domain has been one of the leaders in terms of digital humans for a long time, and in my mind, the first company that's ever successfully come out of the uncanny valley, and that was with Benjamin Buttons, and that was in 2006, 2007.
I know, right? That was really early to considering what you're doing. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a lot of that that's out there. And, I think you guys have great software and great technology at mm-hmm. Digital Domain. But what you also have, which I think is the most important thing, is a huge amount of experience as artists and as people understanding what is good and what's, you know, what matters and how to make things look good. And if you have that eye of what to do, is actually almost more powerful than the software. Mm-hmm. And you can see the success of things in that way, which I think is amazing. Definitely amazing. Yeah. What about this, Asuka? What about some of the challenges you've had? It doesn't just have to be about digital humans, but anything else that was going on at digital. What were some of the hardest things that you had to deal with?
Well, you know, it's always like it's like a life and the work balance too, right? So mm-hmm. I'm a mother of the two right now. So so then like Didi was really supportive about how I still work in here. So that is another one part I love about this company. Mm-hmm. I took I took two maternity leaves in there. But in the same time, it's like if you go out of the working, this industry is like really fast paced, right? Mm-hmm. If you are not in at the work desk and not in the, you know, front line at the project for 1 year, because of I had a baby, then the things is like so different when I came back. Right. So it was really hard to catch up with all the things, you know? Mm-hmm. So I don't know how many cycles of the software release is going to happen, but the V-Ray 3 and the V-Ray 4 was totally not the same things.
Right, yeah.
Right? So if when I came back to the new things, I have a lot of things to catch up on.
Right,
so that is even they... they supported me so well about for the easing the plan, and I even like worked from home a little bit and okay. before like coming back to the full time at the building. So that was really great support. But for the because of the nature of I have to take the sabbatical
right.
in a couple of years in this career. That right. was really hard.
Yeah, I'm sure that's hard. I can't imagine. Like I haven't worked in production for a long time, and I can imagine if I went back to DD, I was like, I don't know what's going on.
So that's the hard part for me to just trying to not be late, but mm-hmm. also since I love this the particular career do so much, mm-hmm. you know, I just cannot, you know, I just don't want to let it go, let the
right.
ball drop.
So, yeah. Well, I don't see that. You're too strong a person for that. Far from lazy, let me just put it that way.
Well, but that's totally backfired time to time too. So when my husband doesn't work in this industry. So
okay.
We've been married 10 years now, so we yeah. know each other about the nature. But uh-huh. the beginning of the relationships, he yeah. always worried about me. Are you workaholic?
Yeah.
Do you need help? It's like,
yeah.
no, I don't. I just love this one so much. I just don't want to let this one to fail.
Right.
So that's the part is, it's you know, it's I feel like that is one of my strengths, but also same time, one of the things I have to consider and the outside of perspective time to time.
Right. And yeah. balance. Balance is, yes. it's very challenging, for sure. Well, I can imagine. Now, how about, you know, our current situation where you now have to work from home, right? How is that balance working for you?
Actually, to be honest, it's like we transitioned beautifully. So
really?
Because so yes, I cannot speak about our product, the people working for actual production in digital domain because
right.
I'm in digital human group. We
right.
work slightly different over
sure.
Everything, but we just you know right before the split up, we just switched to the whole our repository system to the GitHub. So
uh-huh.
then we just use GitHub heavily. So we are just so used to having like, I don't know what to say. It's just like having our work to be divided and the responsibility divided. So,
right.
but in the same, the one point, it's just gonna combine it together and communicate well. And
right.
also, yeah, also like our team is all over the world. We have a Vancouver team. We
yep.
have also like a development team in Taiwan as well.
Yep.
So well, we already learned and how to communicate in not in the physical contact spaces.
Sure.
So I think it was so this whole work from situation wasn't that much of the big problem for us. That's amazing.
Right.
We're surprised, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what about how your work-life balance when you're working from home? How did you adjust with that?
So that is another one I'm surprised myself too.
Yeah.
My kids are adjusted really well. So he
yeah.
knows, that they knows that when I'm at work, I'm at work.
Right.
And also they are a little bit more happier to see me physically in the face-to-face.
Right. Because you're just like, I can just see you
yeah.
and that's fine. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they're pretty young. How old are they? They're pretty young.
One of them is 6 years old, and one of them is 1 year old.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
yeah.
Oof.
So I know they are young. They are
yeah,
young.
They're
but
young.
Also, I don't have to commute anymore.
Nope.
So I can eat the lunch and the dinner with them. So
yep.
that's made their emotional balance way better, to be honest.
Yeah, so. That's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm the same way. 2.5 hours of driving that's been cut out of my life, and I can see my kids more often. We have dinner together. It's amazing.
Yes.
So, yeah.
But again, it's all about the technology too, right? So we never thought about we can achieve this way of the work in this way. So
right. It's amazing. Everyone kept saying like, no, it's not going to be possible to work from home. And then suddenly when you're forced to work from home, guess what? It's totally possible to work from home.
know, yeah.
So that's really, really cool. Well, great. We've actually got right about an hour okay. It's gone through. It's flown right by.
I know, but
it's really cool to see you again, obviously. And we haven't talked in a long time, which is a shame because it's nice to see you for sure. But I love the story of you know all the stuff that's inspired you and the fact that you're still very much on the front lines of doing things. With the work you're doing and still inspired by the art you're doing and mm-hmm. challenging yourself. You've always been very good at challenging yourself.
Yeah. Well, again, it's like, so I probably wasn't being in the same company if they didn't give me a chance to change my role and change my interest and so many times. So, yeah.
Well, that's good. I'm really glad that happened. And obviously, you know, it speaks for itself. Digital Domain gave you a great home and gave you lots of abilities. But I don't think they would have done it if it wasn't you. I think you're the person that they are looking for. That person that can be achieved. And if you say I want to do something like that, they're like, well, probably we would get a lot out of her if we did that. So,
thank you.
They're very good at finding great talent, and they found it mm-hmm. in you for sure.
And also, you know, I made a lot of like lifetime friends from
of
there,
course.
Right? Yeah. And Paul George, Hansi mm-hmm. Tan,
yeah.
Rory Otis,
yeah.
Melanie Okamura. That's well, yeah. my crew, but yeah.
Yeah. I wonder, how's Mel doing? I heard she came back every now and then to DD. She was doing a little bit of work there. Is that?
Right now, she's in the Tamil.
And
she's still doing the modeling, so mm-hmm. she's still thriving. That's yeah. amazing. So, yeah.
Yeah, I follow her and obviously her husband as well, who does incredible mm-hmm. work over at Naughty Dog as well. He's been on the podcast as well. I think Melanie has not been. I should get Melanie on the podcast.
You should, yes.
she's great. She was my first boss in visual effects, was Melanie.
Oh, my, that's crazy.
Yep. Yeah, she was.
Yeah. I'm just so happy that she's still like in industry, you know. Also, yeah. like she also had a kid and a family, but she's yeah. still like hanging on it. So,
yeah. It's you know what we manage, and like I have two kids. My wife is a flame artist as well, and
mm-hmm, so that's right.
We have a flame in our bedroom right now.
Does Karen still have it?
she's still working, and so now it's you know we're. It's funny. It's like I work in the living room and she works in the bedroom, and then kids are doing school right now remotely, you know, in their rooms.
Yeah.
So it's just like, you know, we're managing. I think that's you know what? It's fine. It's fine. It's all good. But all right. Well, thank you so much, Jessica. I really appreciate you coming on and doing this. And thanks,
yeah,
Digital
thank
Domain,
you.
For letting us have your time.
Yeah, thank you. And talk to you in a couple of weeks. I think I'm coming back for the 24 hours of chaos.
That's right. You're going to be doing yeah. 24 hours of chaos. That's perfect. That's so great. So we were planning all that, and that will be happening in a couple of weeks. So this may come out actually after that
yeah,
comes out,
fine.
But we'll see. Anyway,
yeah.
we'll let people know that. All right. Thanks, Jessica.
All right. Thank you, Chris.